Yo, what's up, everyone, and welcome to episode 46 of Buzzer Beaters. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is my co-host, Anthony Swan Corral. I was just looking at you, bro. And we are brought to you by GremlinsMedia.com. You can find us at GremlinsMedia.com. You can also find us at any popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as YouTube, Spotify, Google, Apple, Facebook, Pandora. You just name it. Whatever suits you, go ahead and pick that and just call out GremlinsMedia.com or, you know, Buzzer Beaters, Cisco Kids, Anthony Corral, Eddie Aparicio, whatever, right? We'll show up anyway. So if this is your first time joining, we go about an hour each time. Lately, it's been about an hour and a half. But we're getting close to our 50th episode. It's going to be a milestone here in the next 5 weeks. We might have a special guest lined up. It's actually one of my buddies. I'm not going to say the name yet. As soon as I get it secured, then I will go ahead and let everybody know who's going to be joining us. But we're going to have a special episode in about 5 weeks. But for the time being, we're going to go ahead and cover the NBA playoffs. That's pretty much our plan for today. We're going to go over that as well as some of the teams that have got eliminated. And we'll just talk a little bit about what they need to do, if they're close or if they're like way far off or what they need to do. So anyway, Tom, before we get into it, man, what's been going on? How you been, man? You still been watching scary movies, man? Last time we were here, we were talking
about. Yeah, I know. Yeah, the scary movies. Nah, just that one. You know, like I said, I know we were talking a little bit. You were mentioning how you're into scary movies.
Yeah.
And
surprised you. You've known me for so long, you didn't know that, huh?
No, I didn't know that. You know, and what was funny was in one of the times we were talking, I don't know if it was on air or off, but you were mentioning how, what was that, Midsommar was related to Hereditary.
Yes.
You know, and what was funny was I brought that up to my daughter, and she's like, no, they're not. And I'm like, I think they are. And she's like, no, they're not. So we look it up, and lo and behold, yeah, they're connected.
Related.
Yeah, they're related. Yeah, yeah.
Midsommar was a prequel to Hereditary. Midsommar is the prequel to Hereditary.
Yeah.
You see the little thing at the end in Midsommar, that little sign that they have, and it shows up again in the latter part of Hereditary. That's like,
yeah, man, you're deep into it. Yeah, I'm more of
dude, I'm into it, man. You know,
I'm more of a sci-fi sports.
Yeah, no, dude,
movie guy.
And I mentioned that, you know, there's very little. I haven't found really many movies that really have scared me, and it might be a lot to do with maybe just kind of me kind of experiencing some stuff myself. Actually, let me ask you something, bro. Do you believe in the supernatural, man? I mean, how would I put this?
You grew up religious, right?
And I did too.
Yeah, but I'm,
and it kind
I'm,
of exposed you to that a little bit, right? So it makes you kind of wonder.
Yeah, how would I put this? I don't omit anything in this universe.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't, but I've never experienced it. So I don't, how can I say? I just never seen it or experienced it. I'll leave it at that. But I don't, when it comes to, you know, like I've watched ancient alien shows and like
I
all
love
this
that show,
stuff.
By the way.
Yeah,
love
all this stuff. I'm sure we could spend like an hour or two talking about this nonsense, but you know, I'm open-minded to whatever, but like, have I ever experienced it? Have I ever felt something? No, I can't say that I have.
So bro, I got to tell you, I think I have a developing, I would say not finely tuned sixth sense, because everybody who has passed away in my life, bro, and I'm talking about everybody that's been close to me, has had some conversation with me in my dream where it's so vivid and so realistic, man. We're talking like vivid, right?
Yeah.
You know, one thing, I was going to share a story with you before we get into it.
Yeah.
So you probably knew that my dad passed away in 1995. And actually, when he passed away, it was kind of unexpected. We were expecting my grandmother, who was sick. This is my dad's mom, who was sick and kind of had pneumonia and was dying. And, you know, when I got the phone call from my aunt saying that, you know, I thought, like my grandmother was passed. She's like, no, your dad passed away. And I'm like, what? It was completely out of nowhere. Right. Anyway. And you know, Patty had met my dad, you know, cause we were started dating at that time, right around there, 95. And that's when he passed. So like a few months she had met him. But anyway, when we were dating, you know, I used to live in Milpitas. I don't know if you've ever been to my house in Milpitas, but,
I've been there. Yeah.
You have been there, right? So we used to have house parties and all that, right? With Matt, you know, and Dave.
Yep,
and,
I remember.
Right? So we used to have those house parties. But anyway, so Patty was, you know, over one night. And then I had this dream, dude, and this is already my dad had passed away, and this is kind of weird. That's why I wanted to ask you about whether you believe in this or not, because this one's kind of going to be hard to explain as to how this happened, right? Okay. So I have a sister. My sister and I have the same dad, but different moms, okay?
Okay.
Her mom was the first wife of my dad. My mom was the second wife of my dad. And they were only married for 3 years, my dad and my mom, right? But anyway, so this dream that I had was after my dad had passed away, and I was driving. Do you remember Mike Prince from Cal Poly? He was a buddy of mine from Cal.
Sounds familiar.
In my dream, because he was driving the car, and we were driving down the street of where my grandmother and my dad lived. And this is, again, in my dream. And then I looked up, and it was broad daylight. I looked up, and then I see my dad walking out of the house with the for sale sign in front of the house, right? Because it was actually going to be sold. And then he was walking down, but he had this gray kind of suit, which he never wore. He never wore a gray suit, right? He had a fedora cap, you know, those fedora caps with the little, you know, the little feather here. And then he has glasses on, right? So he's walking down the street, and I told my friend, and this is all in my dream, bro. I told my friend, hey, pull over, man. You know, I got to go talk to somebody here, right?
Yeah.
Here to see my dad. And I'm like, Dad, and I'm talking to him in Spanish. Dad, what are you doing, man? What are you doing here, right? And then he starts going, Bob. He's like, Bob, I'm so sorry. I was such a bad father to you. You know, like, I should have done better, this and that. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then he's like, I'm so sick to my stomach, you know. And then he's like, and then next thing you know, he starts throwing up, right? He starts throwing up on the ground. He's like crying and this and that. But he's being very, you know, demonstrative of how sorry he was for being not necessarily the best dad, right? So, because, you know, my mom and my dad divorced when I was only 3 years old, and I remember it vividly, man, which is a trip. So, you know, you still have memories when you're that young, and I remember it. Anyway, so when I woke up, I told Patty, I go, Patty, I just had this really strange dream about my dad. And, you know, I told her this story, and then, dude, she completely got very freaked out, because what she said is like, you know, I got to tell you this. Last night, I woke up, and I felt this presence. And this is like around 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock, right around there, right? So it was dark. And then she says, I see this figure standing next to you, right? You know, because she's kind of closer to the wall, and I'm closer to the, you know, to the door, right?
Yeah.
And she sees this figure, and she said that he was, like, wearing this suit, and he had these glasses on. And then he was just looking, but I kind of felt like it was your dad, so I didn't really freak out, right? I just kind of, you know, ghosts freaked me out, but, I didn't think it was anything, you know, demonic or scary like that, right? It's still kind of weird seeing that, but I saw it, and then he kind of faded away, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting. So then the very next weekend, I go to my sister's house, right? And, you know, it was like right around Easter time frame, right? I think it was Easter. So I walk, you know, as I'm walking in, her mom comes running towards me. He's like, Eddie, I got to tell you something. I had this dream about your dad, and he was wearing this suit, and he had this hat on, and he had these glasses, and he was throwing up saying sorry. And I'm like, that is weird, bro. And
this is more
at the same exact nights, different locations, right? And three different people saw the same thing. How do you explain that, bro? Right? Isn't that a trip?
I can't. That is a trip. That is something going on there.
That's a trip, man. So, anyway, that's, you know, I've seen more other stuff. I don't want to take up all the time because we have a lot to talk about for hoops, and we got a war game to catch up on, right? It's coming up. But I wanted to kind of give you that, you know, that story that kind of, you know, it was kind of a theme that we talked about last week. We were talking about the horror stuff, and I kind of wanted to give you a realistic thing that happened to me. And I thought other things, but that one was like three different people seeing the same thing, and it's like,
yeah,
what?
That's.
And it's not something that my dad never wore this stuff. What is that, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. So that might make you a believer out there.
Like I said, I believe. I've never.
You haven't experienced.
Yeah, like personally. I mean, I've had some coincidences. I can tell at some other time we can tell some other stories. But, you know, I've had things that are difficult to explain, but I've never felt anything. Or, you know, when my mom passed, I can honestly say I haven't dreamt much about her. You know, I haven't really, and, you know, sometimes I think I'm not ready, you know, maybe in my head, I don't want to, you know, kind of deal, you know, I believe you. I mean, that's crazy.
And it's interesting that, you know, I think I told you this story that, but, you know, the night that my mom passed away, because I saw her after she had already passed, right? But I think this is the night she passed away, because as I was going to bed, no windows were open. I felt this draft fly over me, man. The draft out of nowhere. I was like, what the hell was that, right? And it was on a Thursday night. And then the neighbors across the street who lived with my mom, when, you know, she was watching it very closely and told me that, you know, every night she had this certain pattern. You know, she would watch TV, the lights would go out a certain time, and she didn't have any timers in her house. My mom didn't. But yeah. Thursday night is when it all stopped. And I'm like, whoa, right? And then another night I had this presence kind of next to me, and I felt the bed, like when someone sits down on the bed right next to me, bro, in, you know, in the middle of the night. And I knew that was my mom, dude. I was like, okay, that's my mom, right? So anyway, so that's what I'm saying. These things happen to me, man. And maybe that's why I don't get freaked out, man. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, you're kind of in tune with them. I'm like, no thanks. I'm cool.
Yeah, totally, man. So, but anyway, this kind of makes for a very awkward segue into hoops, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell the story. We went off on a tangent here a little bit. All good, though.
But it's all good, man. But anyway, dude, we got quite a playoff series amongst both conferences. That's been going on, man. And, you know, we are going to go ahead and cover all that. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Twan and I made some predictions. And you have the slides here. So, you know, we came up with our own brackets, and we kind of tried to make some predictions. We had a little scoring method to this where, you know, I'd assign a point for every team that we picked correctly. And then if we picked the number of games correctly, we would get an additional 2 points. So right now, you could see right now, Twan is the one at the top, and mine is the one at the bottom. And you can see that the bolded teams are the ones that have already won. And you can see that the teams that we predicted, the ones that are in red are the ones that are incorrect. The ones that are in green are correct with the team winning, right? So right now I have a 10-4 lead. And what's interesting is that our Warriors are playing right now, and we both picked them in, you know, we both picked them winning the series. I had them in 6. You have them in 7. And, you know, it looks like it's going to go at least 6, right?
I got them in 6. This series I got in 6.
I'm looking at the other one. Sorry. Yeah, so, we both had it at 6. We both had the exact same thing. We're talking about the Knicks series, for the Lakers. Yep. So it looks like we're probably going to get the game right, I think. And the Warriors, they're flat right now, and it happens. You know, closeout games are the hardest, especially when the team that's down is at home. It's going to be tough, right? So –
My concern in particular with the Warriors is their rest schedule, right? If the Wolves win tonight, the Wolves are going to be very well rested.
Correct.
You know, and the Warriors are going to be running around a little bit, having to play Friday, and then I don't know when they would play the Wolves, but my guess is they'll get a day off, and then they got to go to Minnesota and go. So my concern in particular for the Warriors is just the amount of rest they can get.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, they're an older team. For the most part, at least their superstar players are all older and advanced. They're all like at least 35 years of age, at least, right? The big three. So, you know, the old people need the rest, bro, right? And so you're right. You know, the Warriors laying an egg, at least so far, right? You know, we've seen teams come back, we can talk about one of the first series that we'll probably talk about when we get into the next segment. Let's go ahead and not go in order, Tom. We'll talk about the Milwaukee Pacers game, because that one was huge. But anyway, you can see this. We're going to follow this every week. We're going to give it a point system. You're going to see our progress. But so far, you know, we're doing pretty good right now. We haven't really
we've got the winners down. You and I, right. I took the Lakers. You took the Wolves. Right now, you're looking like that may come to fruition. We'll see how the game goes tonight. Obviously, for the Lakers to win this series, they'll have to win it in 7. If the Wolves win tonight. The other one that I guess is caught us a little bit both off guard is we both took the Clippers. I took them in 6. You took them in 7. The Nuggets are up 3-2. So if the Nuggets win in L.A., I think tomorrow, then they'll be advancing. And obviously the biggest point differential here is that you called both sweeps, or at least you With called the Cavs in 4, which was right.
And the Celtics in 5.
The Heat looked horrendous, but we'll get into that here in a minute. And then you called the Celtics in 5, which was pretty much on the number, I think.
That's it. It's exactly. It was 5 games.
Yeah. So that's how you get. That's how you got the extra points. But so far, in terms of winners, we've been fairly accurate. Right. Yeah.
So far, man. But you know, there's going to be some differences coming up with the Pistons and Knicks. I think that one is going to go 7, man. So it just depends on who's going to win. So
correct. And I had you had the Knicks in 7, and I had the Pistons in 7, and we'll see. Exactly. And, you know, that was, well, I guess we'll get into it, but that was a bummer that, you know, the Pistons didn't get that foul called At the end of the game, Tim Hardaway. And then the refs actually admitted that they blew it.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that should have been a foul. And I'm like, dude, what's the point of that? You're just like twisting the knife at this point. Like, why do you even got to say something, you know?
Yeah, totally, man. And by the way, something I forgot to mention in my introduction is that we're here live. We're here live every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And we're here for a reason, because we want to hear from you. We want to hear your commentary. We want to get your questions. You know, we've gotten a lot of them in the past. I think recently we haven't been getting as much. I think you guys just are in listen mode, and that's okay. But, you know, definitely we're here for you. That's why we're here live. So anyway, Twan, let's get into the games. So let's go ahead. We'll go to the Bucks series first. That's the third one down. So go to the –
All right.
Yeah, we'll go – the next one, sorry.
Come on.
Next one down, I think it is.
Hold on.
Here we go. So this game, you know, happened last night.
Yeah.
There was a whole lot of drama that came
out. There was.
Right?
A lot of drama.
Yeah, a lot of drama. And, you know, the Pacers won in five. And, you know, the Bucks, you know, once Damian Lillard, you know, essentially, you know, he ruptured his Achilles tendon. I've had that injury. And it's a bear to recover from, especially for an athlete. You know, there's freaks of nature that have come back from it, like, real soon. Like, Terrell Owens came back from it within a year, you know, and played in the Super Bowl. And then Adrian Peterson is another one who, freak of nature, you know, that came back, you know. But it usually, in the past, when it happened to a player, it was a career-threatening, you know, injury, right? Now, I think people can recover from it, but a lot of times it may not initially be the same player, right, as they have in the past. But, you know, our hearts go out to Damian Lillard because, you know, he's one of these, you know, guys that's going to be a Hall of Famer, right? He's from Oakland, you know, really close to where we grew up, Twan and I. You know, we're both from San Francisco, and that's why he wears the 0 or the O, you know, as his number, because he's paying homage to where he grew up. But, you know, Damian Lillard, he's in advanced stage now, and two injuries like this happen to two players, you know, within a month and a half of each other, you know, because Kyrie Irving had the same injury too, you know. No, he didn't have the same injury. He had the knee injury. Sorry, Kyrie Irving had a knee injury. And these are for older guys, it's going to be a problem for them to recover from.
So but I think Kyrie's now out with an Achilles right now.
He might be, yeah. But I think when he did it, I think it was his knee that went out, right? So yeah. But Damian Lillard is going to miss more than likely almost all of next season. So what does this mean for the Bucks now, right? Because, you know, Giannis, as you can see, you know, if you are seeing this for the first time, we pretty much put, essentially a net rating for a player. And it's essentially the fantasy points. I mean, you know, it's essentially keeping track of all the stats. And I put a number system to it. Points are points. Rebounds are 1.2 points, and then assists are 1.5 points, and steals and blocks are 3 points. And then you can kind of essentially see how efficient a player is when they're in the game and accumulating stats. So that's what you see in the total, is the total amount of points that they've scored in all the games combined. And then you see the minutes for each game, right? So the game four is, we're only keeping track of two games at a time because the screen is only going to allow us to do that. So we're just focusing on game four and game five. So you can see that I've highlighted in orange the guys who have the best fantasy points per minute. Those are the most efficient guys. And you can see Giannis is ridiculous, dude. Look at that, 1.7 and 1.78.
He's by far the best player on the court.
But look at the totals that he has. He has 314 points, right?
Yeah.
There's only one other guy that actually got over 100 points, or two other guys that got 100 points. That's Gary Trent and Kevin Porter, right? But you can see how different that looks compared to the team of the Pacers. You look at the overall totals for that team, it's balanced, man.
Yeah.
It's balanced, right? It's like there's nobody really standing out. And what, you know, I couldn't show this because, you know, we only could do two games at a time, but you could see for all five games, they had a different of fantasy points per minute leader in each of the games.
That first game, Eddie, you highlighted Halliburton, but that first game, Miles Turner was actually the points.
The first guy. Yeah, the first game.
Yeah, this game.
Yeah, 1.57. Yeah, you're right.
He should have been highlighted. So in the first game, it was Miles Turner, and then in the second game, it was Halliburton.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. So, by the way, I was pretty careful, but you got the one, and that's pretty good, Twan. You're a pretty good corrector, man. I like that, man. but you can see the complexion of the teams is very different, right? I mean, one team is very, very balanced. And dude, that game last night, I can't believe this is the first time this ever happened. I think they did a stat, like, out of 1,608 games, right, in playoff games, this is the first time that a team that was losing by 7 points with 40 seconds or less actually won.
Yeah.
First time it's ever happened, right? Yeah. And yeah. They completely crumbled. And then you can see, like, after the game, of course, you know, Halliburton won the game. And then, you know, he got up on the stands and everyone was excited. And, you know, of course, then there, you got Halliburton's dad come on the court and kind of talking smack to Giannis. And dude, Giannis is a humble kid, dude. I really like, especially what he said.
I really like him.
I really like him too, man. He's just.
And you know what I like about him is there was one thing he said in that speech.
Yes.
You know, that I thought was really intelligent of him. And he's like, look, this is how I feel today. In 20 years, I may feel different, but I'm telling you what I feel at this moment. And yep. I thought that was very well stated because, you know, so many of us that are maybe less humble feel so certain in our feelings at a particular point in time, like as though we're always going to feel that way. And things change, circumstances change, life changes. But, you know, his call out at that moment was really good. And Halliburton's dad, I don't know, I think his name's John, but
yeah,
he should really be embarrassed of himself because he's the one that's acting like he's the young kid and Giannis is acting like he's the seasoned old man. You know,
their behavior
is really like flip-flopped around. And that's really, if I'm Halliburton, you know, Tyrese, I'm kind of embarrassed, you know, of this whole situation.
And he did. He actually said the right things in a press conference that he said his dad was in the wrong, right? And his dad actually posted up an apology on social media. You know, it's big of him to do that, but you know, he realizes that he messed up. You know, maybe after his son told him that he messed up, I don't know. But you know, it's like any time you have a competitor that is on the floor in an emotional game, and the same team that beat them and took them out in two straight postseasons. You know, and then you have, you know, one of the fans, namely the dad of one of their best players, come out and start talking smack. I mean, that fired up, you know, Giannis. And then you see Giannis, you know, he starts going up to Ben Mathurin after the game. And, you know, I thought they were having like a sincere moment. I don't know. Giannis must have said something to him or kind of checked him about something he did in the game. And then all hell broke loose at that point, man. Then you see like Kevin Porter want to start swinging at people. And then you see James Johnson, man. You see James Johnson. He's the Charles Oakley of this generation.
Yeah, no, yeah.
He comes in and starts kind of like.
And up until that.
All in order after we showed up, man.
Well, so up until that situation with Halliburton's dad and Giannis, you know, I was like commending them because in particular, Bobby Portis and Nembhard, they've been chewing at each other the whole game. They've been going back and forth. Portis has like, he has crazy eyes, bro. Like, ah, that dude looks like a freaking serial killer when he's looking at you. But in any case, they're going at it. And then as soon as the game's over, I see him hugging. Shaking hands. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Eddie. I don't know if I could turn it on and turn it off that quickly. Like, I couldn't. Like, I'd still be, like, heated, you know. But the fact that they were able to separate one from the other, I'm like, that's cool. And I'm like, all right, it's all good. And then here comes this conversation with the dad, and then, like, it all went south again, you know.
Oh, man, big time.
And you know, and I'm wondering, you know, the dad being a fan and it being his son and – him seeing all of the chirping, you know, he got emotionally invested and he couldn't turn it off, you know, and you know, and the thing is, if you're going to throw it in someone's face, Giannis is not the guy to do it to, because that dude he's level headed. He had a hell of a series. Like you're picking on the wrong dude. They sure as hell didn't lose because of Giannis. That's a fact.
He needs a lot of help. You can see by the stats that I'm showing here. Yeah. He needs a lot of help, man. Right.
This team is and old. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what his future holds, you know.
He signed a 3-year contract, and I think his second – I think it's the 27-28 season he has a player option, and then after that he's an unrestricted free agent. You know, I don't think there's going to be any – you know, the Bucks are in desperate need of a lot of help to help this guy out, right? He's been very loyal to this organization, and I think there's no signs of him wanting to leave, at least yet. He hasn't, you know, it's still kind of early right after this, you know, their loss or elimination from the playoffs. But, you know, he's at his prime, man. And, you know, it's been very known that he wants to play with certain players and have a chance to win a title again, right?
Yeah, so, but that Lillard injury is really going
to screw him.
They're not going to have him all next year. I mean, if they do get him, it's going to be around this time next year, which is already just the playoffs, and you're going to expect him to ramp up. They've got a lot to do. You know, as I've said in the past, I'm not a big Doc Rivers fan. I think they need a new coach. I think they need, you know, a couple of different things going on over there. So it's going to be interesting, you know. And for the Pacers, you know, they really stepped it up. And I wanted to call out something that I noticed. You know, the Pacers and the Houston Rockets, they share something, in my opinion, and I want to hear your feedback on this.
Sure.
They're really the two teams in these playoffs that don't really have a star, don't really have, like, the guy. You know, Halliburton is kind of their all-star, but, you know, you can – like, when it comes to the end of a game, is it going to Turner? Is it going to Siakam? Is it going to Halliburton? Kind of the same way with the Rockets. You know, is it going to Jalen Green? Is it going to Şengün? Yeah. Is it, you know,
they have a bunch of good players.
And you see in Houston's case, it's kind of biting up until today, right? It's kind of biting them in the butt, not having kind of that go-to guy. But for the Pacers, it's really working because it's really spreading out the whole offense and they're all able to deliver. So I just kind of find it fascinating because almost every other team has a guy. Even Memphis, who got blown out, they got Ja Morant.
They got Giannis.
You know, the Knicks got
Brunson.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson. So, like, everybody's got a guy. And really, like, the Pacers and the Rockets are the two teams that really don't got a guy.
I mean, you could argue that Halliburton is their guy.
Their guy, but he's not the guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but he's starting to assert himself as the guy in the league.
I still kind of see him. Like, at the end of a game, it could be Miles Turner, it could be Siakam, it could be Halliburton. I see that kind of – that load kind of distributed. You know, and if you're a fan of the Pacers, you know, feel free to argue with me. But I don't see him as kind of – he's not like, you know, like Giannis is to Milwaukee, or he's not like Ja Morant is to Memphis, or, you know, or how Luka and LeBron are to the Lakers, you know, or, you know, you can go down the line. Ed Edwards is to Minnesota and so on and so forth.
That a team doesn't have like the superstar caliber player that they you know essentially build around, you know, they have a bunch of good players right now that are not all superstars but all play well together.
Yeah.
And that's what you're pointing out with the Pacers and the Rockets. It's pretty good. You know, I would almost kind of put the Thunder in that same category, although they have an MVP.
Yeah, but it's clear who their guy is.
Shea, right? It's Shea.
Everybody around him is just much more talented.
Yeah, but even if Shea's out of the lineup, that team is still very good.
No, I agree, but there's no doubt he's the guy. Like,
yeah.
You know, like he's MVP. I mean, most likely it's going to be him or Jokic that win the MVP, you know, and so we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, just an observation that I made about the Pacers and how at this moment in time, and again, the Rockets are winning, and so we'll see how it's really benefiting the Pacers, and it was sort of kind of hurting the Rockets because when it gets down to crunch time, you know, and they've had a lot of games, a lot of close games between the Warriors and the Rockets, you really don't get a sense as to who's the guy. You know, like, is it going to be Şengün? Jalen Green's kind of fallen out of favor because he's either had really good games or really horrible games, really. There's nothing in between. Van Vliet is kind of warming up the last two games, like today and the last
game. Yeah, I mean, he's been lights out.
Warm up. Yeah, but you know, it's kind of hard to tell, and that one's kind of bit them because they don't really have someone to kind of guide them out of the woods, you know, in those crunch time minutes. And so we'll see how these series ends up. But the one thing for the Pacers, too, is, man, that TJ McConnell, that's a tough SOB, dude. I like him.
He's really good. I mean, and he only gets – he doesn't even play 20 – he plays like 20 minutes a game max.
No, but look at his numbers.
Yeah.
100 points, and I mean, he's a solid guy.
I know. I'm surprised they don't play him that much, man.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so – but, dude, anyway, so – any other parting shots before we go on to the next series?
No other parting shots. You know, I'm a little surprised. I thought this game would go a little deeper. I thought they might go, you know.
After Damian Lillard got hurt, that's true. Yeah, so. All right, let's go to the Pistons-Knicks game. So, I think that might be the one, you know.
Yeah, give me a second. There we go.
Right here. There it is, man.
All right.
I have the Knicks going in seven. You have the Pistons going to seven. The Knicks were up 3-1, and then the Pistons, you know, beat the Knicks on the road, right? Yeah. So they stole the game. And, dude, I got to tell you, bro.
They stole both games, Eddie.
Yeah, but you know what? What's happening now, bro, is that you're starting to see the war of attrition going on, bro, with, you know, the Knicks, right? Because now you have Jalen Brunson, who's not 100% right now, right? And he makes that team go. Then you got Josh Hart, who also got nicked up in that last game. And then, you know, he had to sit for a while. And I don't know if you caught at the end of the game, but with like a minute and like 20 seconds left, you know, Thibodeau sent Jalen Brunson to go, you know, get go into the game. And then you got freaking Josh Hart, the same thing. They were both waiting for, you know, a stoppage of play so they can go ahead and start get back in the game. And they're, you know, all these analysts are all over Thibodeau, like not making the, just call timeout, man. You know, what are you waiting for, bro? Get your playmaker in the game with Jalen Brunson. Cause without them, without him, they have no shot. And Josh Hart's one of their top players too. And lo and behold, it bit them, right? It bit them that, you know, he took a gamble there and wanted to kind of wait to see if stoppage of play would happen naturally so he could save his timeout. But he should have kept that time. He should have used that timeout to get his player back to get a better chance of winning, man. So, so you know, in my opinion, you know, what's happened here is that Thibodeau, I think, you know, will learn from this. You know, I'm surprised that he has to learn from it. But, you know, coaches are learning every freaking day. This situation has come up all the time. But one thing that I think has happened is that the emergence of Mitchell Robinson. I mean, look at his last game, dude. He had 22 minutes, 36.7 net. Stat points, yep. Right? Yeah, fantasy points. And look at that, 1.65 fantasy points per minute, right? I mean, that's really good. So hopefully
you should have highlighted him on the second one, yeah.
Yeah, again, dude, I messed up. Yeah, I messed up.
It's all good.
Yeah, but you got it. Yeah, but he should be highlighted as the 1.65, and I highlighted Cameron Payne as the best, and I don't know what I saw there. I probably saw the zero instead of a one in that 1.65, and that's probably why I did that. But anyway, but you can see, like, you know, in the starters, you have Josh Hart, who just barely outdid Karl Anthony Towns in the points per minute category. But, you know, they're starting five. This is the only game that I've seen where they have all less than 40 minutes. This is the first time they've had all less than 40 minutes. They've all had more than 40 minutes in the previous three other games, right? So that's a good development. We'll see if that what happens. Now, what are your takeaways, man, on what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pistons lost both games. I heard an interesting stat where the Pistons haven't won a home playoff game, and I don't know, like, a pretty long time.
Right.
Like, I want to say something like 10 years. And the Knicks managed to go there and win those two games, which is really odd because, you know, like some of their younger players, you know, that you think they feel they do better at home. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens when they go home. And so, you know, like you mentioned, you know, Brunson's nicked up. Josh Hart's a little nicked up. We're going to see how that plays out kind of as the series goes. But, you know, I like Detroit's demeanor. I think they got some pretty good pieces out of all the lower seed teams, with the exception of the Warriors. I think they have the most upside. You know, I think like if you look at the Orlandos or the Miami Heat or the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, those teams, I think this team is kind of in the best position of all of them. And
long term, you're talking about long term for this playoff series.
Correct. Long term for me, I'm really looking at them as this is just a matter of experience. They've got a really good balance. You know, Tobias Harris is an older player, but he's solid. You know, Schroeder didn't do much. He did really good in Brooklyn. Didn't do much for the Warriors, and he's doing a lot for Detroit. So they really figured out how to leverage him. You know, the Warriors never could. You know,
because the Warriors run that, you know, the
motion offense,
that read and react offense, man. And Schroeder's not that type of player.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I'm really liking Jalen Duren. Obviously, Cade Cunningham's a player. Star Thompson had a pretty good game on that last game. I thought he played really well. They've got a good little nucleus there. You know, because, you know, one of the formulas that I'm sort of like seeing, right?
This is Peckerhead. Didn't get off the plane. Curry and Jimmy B must have wanted to change their depends early, old fuck. Thanks for participating. And thank goodness YouTube don't have a cast Friday. Absolutely, man.
Yeah, so we got to be watching, man.
By the way,
it's good thing we're not watching today.
Right, you know, and just for the audience, so, you know, Tuan and I were very superstitious, you know, and I think it comes with the territory of having played, you know, some form of, you know, sports when we were growing up. And when you play a sport, you get very superstitious on things, you know.
Yeah. Rituals.
Yeah, very much so. And Matt, the guy that just chimed in, he was my catcher in high school, you know, for all 4 years. You know, he was my catcher. And, you know, I was very superstitious with certain rituals and regimens that I would do in order to go ahead and pitch the right way. It all started in high school. I'm sure you did the exact same thing. But Tuan and I, for the audience, what we started doing is when the Warriors would play, we get together for lunch often, right? But yep. when we get together for lunch and we had a certain meal and they ended up winning, we started repeating that same meal every time we got together. And ramen was the one that we used
ramen
to do
was one.
For a few years, man. And I remember, dude, you suffered through those ramen meals.
Yeah,
man.
You'd be
like sweating.
Even now, the girls are like, let's get some ramen. I'm like, maybe I'll just get some chicken karaage or something. That might pass on the ride.
Yeah, you were just suffering, man. But anyway, so I was telling, Matt and the other guys, that, we had this podcast going on today and that, it's going to disrupt our mojo with respect to superstitions, right? Because you discovered a bar locally to you, maybe 15 minutes away. And I think prior to, you knowing that the game was starting at 4:30, you were going, hey, man, what are we going to do, man? We got to watch the game, man.
The wife and I hit up game one and they won. So we're like, good start. Then we don't go to game two and game two was a blowout. Right? Then we go to the bar for game three. Okay, we're good. Then we go to the bar for game four. Okay, we're good. And then today, because of the podcast, we don't go and, and of course there's people out there, this is nonsense. And to some degree, it probably is, but for me, at least, it's my way of participating, at giving what I can give to the team for whatever good vibes I can provide.
You just said it, the collective vibes help, man, and we're not alone in that, right? There's a lot of people out there that do this, right? We're not, it's kind of irrational, but it kind of is too.
Lucky shirt, lucky underwear, even the players, if they have a good game, they'll eat the exact same thing they ate the day before the good game on the very next game. They do it themselves. Like,
Wade Boggs, he used to eat chicken before every freaking game. Because he was so superstitious. Because he always hit really well when he ate chicken. So he ate chicken almost every freaking day, man. And, I understand because I don't get tired of chicken, bro. I can eat chicken almost every meal myself, man. So it doesn't bother me.
I'm a big chicken guy as well.
You get food fatigue after a while if you eat the same thing. But, I guess we're different. But anyway.
Well, there's some exceptions, like rice. I can eat rice every day.
Yeah, me too.
That ain't ever going to change.
But, I could eat rice and beans every day too. Because it's more, probably one of the more perfect meals you can have, honestly, because it has everything.
Yeah,
right?
Got your protein, got some carbs in there. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
But back to this Pistons.
Yeah, getting back. So that's thanks for chiming in there, Peckerhead, for your comments, man. So anyway, go ahead. You were talking about
your observation. No, I was just saying this next game is really going to be interesting if Pistons can win at home. At this point, in my opinion, all the pressure is on the Knicks. The Knicks are the favorite ones to win.
And they're injured. And the two guys are injured.
Yep, they're the more seasoned team. They're the ones that should win this series. And if the Pistons can find a way to win game six, it's on. Because that game seven is going to be, they played, three games in New York, and the Pistons have won two of those three games.
I'm not going to post what you just said, man. Forget it. I'll show it to you. I don't know if you can see it. You can see it, so I'm not going to post that.
Defecation sensation. We'll leave it at that.
Exactly. All right, man. Any other parting thoughts? I mean, the Knicks.
Where are we going next?
So let's go in order now from here on out. From here on out. We just wanted to cover the two games.
Let me get back to the top.
We can go to the very top. Yeah, right here. So. Now, the Cavs won in 4-0, right? So the Cavs are a problem. We all knew that. I mean, this team is very well balanced. They all shoot unbelievably, dude. I think they're the best shooting team in the league right now. And if you look at all the metrics, man, as we were doing the research for all, if you look at all of their, because there's sites that keep track of all of the ratings, defensive, offensive, nading. The net rating, you got bench scoring, starter scoring. They're number one in almost every category right now, man.
Yep.
But, of course, they played it's kind of all a small sample size because they're playing against the Heat. And the Heat are not necessarily the strongest team, but, not necessarily the weakest team either. I think they're just completely – the whole season caught up to the Heat, man, because they had a very tumultuous season, man. I mean, the whole Jimmy Butler, drama, I think drained the organization. Kudos for them to come back and actually show – that they have some heart, right? And it's Pat Riley. Pat Riley's just kind of telling these guys, get in there and start playing. And of course, Eric Spoelstra. But I did not see this team getting blown out like they did. I think they're the first over 30.
And I think, with, again, they've had a lot of things go happen this year. But the biggest thing is they lost the one guy who wouldn't allow something like this to happen, which is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one guy that would force the issue, like, this ain't happening. We're not getting swept. We're not, you know. And, you know, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Heat are the first 10 seed in NBA history to make the playoffs. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't think a 10 seed has ever made the playoffs. So.
Yep. And they actually almost made the final. I think they made the finals, I think, out of the play-in. They made the
finals. They did. They made the finals. Yeah, they made the finals. And but they had a really, really just tough series. And those last two games, they were done. They were done, dude. I think what they lose the last game by, like 50 or something like that?
They lost by 50. It was like the record was 58. I think they ended up losing by 55. But they were down 60 at one time, man. That would have been a record.
Yeah, look at it. I mean, the game three was 124-87. Game four was 138-83. I mean, geez.
It's ugly.
You know, this is just complete smoke.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, the Heat, in my opinion, you know, they got some thinking to do. They got some thinking to do.
Yeah, we're going to cover them, at the end of the – we actually have, like, a slide that we talk about.
Yeah, we do. We'll cover that at the end.
Yeah, we'll cover that. But
there's really not much to talk about this, you know. In my opinion, you know, the thing to see here, and both the Cavs and the Thunder share the same kind of outlook here, is are they as good as they showed, or were they just playing teams that were kind of, you know – just done.
No, they're as good as advertised, man. And by the way, we want to also comment kudos to Evan Mobley for winning Defensive Player of the Year, right?
Yes.
So good for him. You know, you and I were homers. We think that Draymond should have been the one that won that.
Well,
game.
I knew it was down to them two. And actually, Draymond was third, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And what's interesting that they had a vote, they had a writer that was one of the guests on the Steinmetz and Gru show on 95.7 The Game, and I was listening to it as I was coming back from somewhere, and there's this guy, I don't know who he's for, but he said that the guy he voted for was Lou Dort as a defensive player of the year.
Good
and then second, yeah, and then second, he put Draymond Green, and he said Evan Mobley wasn't even on his ballot. So, you know, the thing is that you want to give these awards to the players that deserve it, but then you also want to give it to teams that are also in the hunt too, right? And that's typically what happens with the MVP. You know, maybe most improved player doesn't happen, you know, that much. I think that was, you know, that was awarded, I think, today too, the most improved player.
I did see it. I forgot the
name. I'm drawing a blank of who it was too, the guy from the Atlanta Hawks.
Correct.
Dyson Daniels.
Correct.
Who came from the trade for DeJounte Murray, you know, he came over to the Hawks from the Pelicans, the New Orleans Pelicans. So congrats to Dyson Daniels because he became a really good fit for the Atlanta Hawks. And the whole Atlanta Hawks, you know, season kind of went to crap after Jalen Johnson got hurt, man, because that dude's a player. But congrats to Dyson Daniels for winning Most Improved Player. But getting back to this series. So the Cavs, you have them going all the way. You have them winning it, you know, actually, right?
Yep, I have them winning the whole thing, yeah.
You know, the Cavs versus the Celtics, because I think that's what's going to happen. That's going to be a series to watch, man.
I agree.
So, yeah, I mean, that's probably the segue for the next series, right? I think that's who's next, right? The Celtics and the Magic.
Celtics and the Magic, yes.
The Celtics won the series 4-1, and you can see in the highlighted below, I had that right, in Celtics in 5, and that's what you have seen in the previous slides. Anytime you see the highlight on the bottom, that tells you we were right. And some we were right in the teams that we picked, and other ones we were right in the games that we picked. So
correct. So we were both right on the team, but you had
the we were both right on the team, and I forgot to highlight that one for you, man. But anyway, you know, what's interesting, the last game, bro, that I saw in this, that the Celtics, you know, they're very reliant on the three, and the thing is that this team, the last game, they were struggling from three, man. And this team, you know, the Magic, they play D. I mean, they're all about D, man. They're long, they're athletic, you know. I think they're just very dominant with just two players, right? And that's their whole team, really, essentially, is in Banchero and Franz Wagner. But, with Tatum and the Celtics, they all shoot the three very prolifically and very accurately. But the last game, it was close, because they couldn't necessarily shoot very well. You know, it was close for a certain period of time, and then they took it away, right? They started running away with it. But I think that is their Achilles heel, the Celtics, is that they're so reliant on it, and if they get too dependent on it, they may not know how to break it down. But Jason Tatum can break defenses down himself, because that dude is like a matchup nightmare no matter how you look at him, because he can dribble, he can shoot over people, and he's very skilled, both offensive and defensively, man. So, but anyway, this series is over. Celtics now are advancing in the Magic. We have a slide about them, you know. But what are your takeaways on this?
Like you mentioned, you know, the Magic were a very physical team. I know that the Celtics were, to some degree, complaining that they were a little too physical. You know, Tatum hurt his wrist kind of midway through this series, missed the game. They're a big, tough team. I think that the Celtics, like you mentioned, they can be hot or cold from the perimeter. I think right. Cleveland's going to be in a much better position to guard the perimeter. And they've got two big men in Jared Allen and Mobley to kind yep. of protect from people coming on in the inside. So it's going to be a really interesting series. The Magic, they need shooters. They need a little bit more, seasoned leadership a little.
I think that's what they're missing.
We'll talk about that when we get to their slide. But this went more or less, like I said, I gave their defense a little more credit, which is why I went in six. I thought maybe they could frustrate the Celtics one additional more game, you know, and right. kind of win based on the back of their defense. The Celtics are strong. The Celtics had a much tougher matchup than the Cavs did. I think the Magic were, at least at this point in time, a much tougher team than the Heat were.
Yeah, and you can see, like, with the fantasy points that I show there, you know, cumulative, that Jason Tatum, you know, is the high for the Celtics, as expected. But yep. Paolo Banchero actually outperformed Tatum throughout the entire yep. series from a stats accumulation standpoint, right? Yep. Franz Wagner is right neck and neck. And those guys, we have another slide towards the end showing all the top 15 points, you know, fantasy points, as well as efficiency from a fantasy points per minute perspective. And you'll see that some of these guys are on there. But, the Celtics, I think, are still the team to beat. I have them going all the way. You have yep. the Cavs going all the way, and that matchup, I think, is coming down soon, man. So
yeah.
That's going to be
between, in my opinion, between the Eastern Conference Final and the Western Conference Final. I think that one's going to be the more game to watch.
Yeah. 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 Well, it depends yeah. who makes it to the Western Conference, man. But we'll get there. I think we have one more to cover on the East before we go to the West. We already talked about this one. And I think there's one more. We already talked about all of them. We already talked about all of them. We're good.
No, we didn't talk about the Grizzlies Thunder, did we?
No, now we're going into the Western Conference, man. So now we're done with the Eastern. Now we're going to go to the Western Conference. This is the first one. All right. So we have here the Thunder won it out 4-0. That's why I kind of highlighted mine. I should have highlighted yours because the Thunder was correct, but I highlighted, you know, mine because I had it right in the games yep. too. But you could see that. This team, the Thunder, they are very efficient. You look at their top four starters, right? They're all in the 100 points range. They look very similar to the way that the team complexion of the Indiana Pacers, where they're all very balanced. They're not really that 100% reliant. I mean, you look Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren. You know, they're respectable to Shai Gilgeous Alexander's output point total, right? I mean, this team is just scary. They very much remind me of the Rockets, but the Rockets can't shoot. These guys can shoot.
Yeah.
And these guys, the Rockets and the Thunder play very similarly. They're all about defense first. They're kind of like both the running the UNLV Running Rebels style of basketball where
I would say the Rockets are more in the mud type of defense.
Yeah, they melt you up.
The Thunder's more of
more finesse.
The horses out there, you know, they're just going to block you, steal, pick the lanes, that type of thing. Just chaotic type defense.
Yeah, yeah. But this team is they're a force, man. They're going to be a problem. I think a lot of people have them as the second favorite to win it all. I think most people are picking the Celtics right now. I think the Cavs are third, if I remember correctly, looking at the latest odds. But this team is a problem. And the thing is that everybody's going to point that they're young, but they're getting experience right now, bro. And you know, this is valuable experience, and they're getting valuable rest right now, man. They could wait another 4 to 5 more days before they play again, man.
Correct.
That's how crazy it is, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's how good this team is. And then going to the other side, you know, the Grizzlies, right? I mean, you know, what can you expect from this team, you know, after kind of the tumultuous, you know, season, especially towards the end of the season that they had, and with the firing of Taylor Jenkins, then they changed their whole offense to kind of, you know, suit the skill set of Ja Morant, which wasn't Taylor Jenkins' kind of approach. And, you know, there's a lot of adjustments on the fly. They're a very athletic team. They're a pretty good defensive team. They just have a lot of good pieces, but they're missing something, man. And I don't know what that is, but they're missing something, bro. What are you seeing? I mean, and John Moran is a hell of a player. We know he's athletic as hell. Jaren Jackson's a hell of a player, but he can't stay out of foul trouble, dude. That's his problem, man. Right?
Scottie Pippen is worse. I'll talk more about him here in a minute, but for the Thunder, I look at that starting five and I'm thinking, man, every one of those players would probably be a starter on any NBA team.
Yep.
No matter what team. So they have really five solid starters. They're just a complete team. And, the Warriors, at least just kind of taking this for homerism again, the Warriors had their number a little bit, which is why I kind of picked them to in our picks that I'm thinking maybe they can,
Beat the Thunder.
Beat the Thunder. Now that I'm kind of, as we're getting into it, that's a tough mountain, for anybody to beat the Thunder in the West. Sure. Minnesota's playing good. There's a couple of different things going on, but we'll see how that develops. In terms of the Grizzlies, I don't want to say they're snake bitten, but it just seems like every season there's something wrong.
There's something that derails
their season.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the Sixers.
It's kind of like the Sixers. Every year there's something. There's an injury. There's a gun accusation. There's a firing. a firing. Like every year there's something. And they do have a pretty solid squad. When you look at those players, I think Zach Edey had a pretty good rookie season. I don't know if you announced it, but we had called it out. Stephon Castle won Rookie of the Year.
Which
is what we thought. But I think Zach Edey had a good year. Scottie Pippen Jr. is really kind of stepping into his own here. He's playing well. They have some good pieces. Santi Aldama's been a good player.
He's a good player, man. Yeah. I mean, look, he's the only guy that scores triple digits.
He's got pieces, but the thing that I kind of keep coming down to is John Morant is a very unstable leader. Both in injury and just overall kind of behavior. And so the organization sort of mimics him. When they're great, it's great. And when he's not, they're not.
It's not that called Twan.
So that, to me, that's kind of what's happening here. They're just kind of playing the way he goes is the way they go. And to be honest with you, and again, I'll talk about this. Jaren Jackson, I don't know if he's the one that wants to play, but I'm really getting frustrated at how much he likes to hang out on the perimeter.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Cut it out, bro.
And he's a big dude, man. But, he doesn't have, the skill set, in my opinion. I mean, how do I want to say this? He does have the skill set. It's the desire to play down low. He can do all the moves. But, playing down low, dude, I mean, that's what I played. When I played down low, it's tough down there, bro, right? It's tough. You get bruised up, you get hurt, right? And, he likes to – and I used to shoot outside, too, because it's a lot easier. You don't have to work so hard, and if you're good at it, you don't have to worry about it. But that's – I think he's probably figured out. He's actually a pretty good shooter for a big guy.
He is.
That team needs more than just that from him, right? So –
When down low players, that's like where your heart shows. When you're down there, that's what. And if your heart's not strong, if you want to be a perimeter player, you can't take the easy way out, dude. You got to take advantage of your height and size and ability. And you're right, he's not that great of a low post player, but he's got to I don't know what to do with him, and I'll elaborate on that when we get to the slides because I think he's going to be an interesting person to address during the offseason. Because I don't know what to do about him at this point.
Yeah, they're in need of an influx of some guys who can take the leadership role away from someone like a John Morant. And John Morant is, he's their best player. And a lot of times, usually the best player is the leader, but that's not always the case, right? I mean, sometimes the best player isn't necessarily the leader. You could argue that the Warriors, the leader of the team is Steph Curry, but I would say the emotional leader of the team is Draymond Green. Draymond Green's not their best player.
I would agree, but Curry's kind of like
he sets the tone.
Well, but it's not only that; it's like one and one A, right? Steph is the ultimate leader, and then Draymond's kind of like the right hand man of the leader. Like whatever happens, you got to run it through Draymond. But that's why the Warriors have been stable because Steph is a calm, stable force. And you look at Shai, he's like a calm, stable force. You look at some of these players that are. Of teams that are doing well, and Jason Tatum's the kind of level-headed guy.
Yeah, they're level-headed.
You really need someone that's a competitor and has that fire, but you also need him to be level-headed. And John Morant's just done a lot of stupid things in his career, and you know, like the thing where he got injured, you know, of course you never know. And, you know, they're doing what they got to do. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, number one, Pippen, why'd you pass it? You should have just took the damn layup. You know, you're kind of hot dogging it here a little bit because he was already past Dort. Pippen could have easily did the layup. And instead he passes it back, Dort slips, that's it. And that, not to make this about myself here for a minute, that would have been my Thunder in five right there because they were going to win that game if freaking John Morant didn't get hurt. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, they're kind of hot dogging it. They're kind of doing all of this stuff and it kind of turned on him a little bit. And, you know, again, not his fault, not Pippen's fault, not John Morant's fault, but it's just kind of, again, like kind of snake bitten.
Yeah, no, I know. But this team, when we get to the analysis of this team, I don't think this team's that far. I mean, they were the number two seed for quite some time in the Western Conference. And then I think just some turmoil happened, some dysfunction happened, and then, you know, the firing. And I don't know exactly what happened there, bro.
Well, I have a complete opposite view of you, Eddie. Complete opposite view.
We'll get there when we get there, man. Let's go to the next series. So we're almost at an hour there, Tuan. You know? And it's a good thing that the Warriors are playing right now, and we don't have to worry about getting there before the game starts. But anyway, so right now the Warriors are in a game. They're leading by three. They're leading 3-1 right now, and they're playing right now in Houston as we speak. And right now they're down 16 right now with about 3 minutes and 45 seconds left, right? So they actually made this respectable. They were coming back. But – you know, you could see early on that the Warriors looked kind of lethargic in the very beginning, and I don't know if that's because of, you know, they knew that they had the upper hand and they could just kind of do, you know, in their minds, we can just kind of not take it so hard this game, and, you know, if we have, you know, three games to win this thing or, you know, to get our one more win needed. But they just, you know, they were the team that traveled. I mean, the Houston Rockets did travel too, but Houston Rockets slept in their own beds, right? And they were with their families, and the Warriors had to travel. And, you know, usually the traveling team that's not in the time zone that they are traveling to is the one that's usually more lethargic. But, you know, this team is very experienced. They're older. They know better. I just think they just came out a little flat. And they knew that this Rockets team is going to come out with, you know, with their hair on fire. And they did, man. I mean, the Rockets were shooting like 65%, dude, after the quarter number one, and over 50% from 3-point after quarter number one. And they were 100% from the free throw line, bro. Yeah. And that was their problem last game. They couldn't shoot with a lick.
I want to say they were like at around 56% from the previous game.
From three.
Which had they been
70%, from free throw line,
which they had they been 70%, they probably would have won the game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So the thing is that this team is scary. Because they are young, kind of dumb still, but they're extremely defensive-minded, man. They are unbelievably defensively, man. They're very good. I would argue that they're better than the Thunder from a defensive standpoint.
The only reason why
the differential is higher for the Thunder is because they have better shooters, man. They set a record this year, the Thunder, in the net. You know, overall differential, right? At 12.9, I think it is. You know, whereas last year there was a record with the Celtics. They had 11.7. And I mean, they beat it by almost, you know, well, they did almost 2 points. So, but the reason why the net differential is better for the Thunder is because they just shoot better, man. If the Rockets,
they're a better offensive team. I mean,
correct.
I would say the Rockets are an average offense at best.
At best, but
their defense is fantastic. And what makes them even harder is that when you have Şengün and Steven Adams out there, you just can't move them, bro. Like you cannot move Steven Adams. Looney is our kind of our guy, right? When we have like a big guy, we put Looney in there, and Looney's kind of like he's kind of the guy you can't move. Well, like they have a better version of that, which is Steven Adams, which is like Looney can't do anything with Steven Adams. I think they're both a better defensive team and a better offensive and defensive rebounding team than the Thunder. But again, the Thunder are just so much more talented. They can
one more talented
score.
Offensively.
Yes,
they're offensively. Way better offensively.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And that's what makes them a better team. But if this team, the Rockets, got like we were talking, you know, before the podcast, like a Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Woo! Right? Yep. They're a problem.
Yes.
They're a freaking problem, man, because they just need a go-to guy to get them points when they need it. Right now it's a collective thing, right? Whoever's hot, right? And lately it's been Alperen Şengün, who's actually a really good player, man. He's baby Jokic. You know,
that's and you know, one thing to note, an observation I made, this is the first playoff game where the Warriors had to travel and only got one day off. This is what I'm talking. This is what I mean. Like, they had a really tough game on Sunday, or was it Sunday?
No, yeah, it was Monday.
Monday, it was Monday, right? Yeah, they had a really tough game on Monday, and then I think what we're seeing is the after effect. You know, that Curry didn't have a good game on Monday. We got kind of saved by Pajemski and Buddy was there a little bit, and so
Buddy was playing well.
They had a couple of players there that kind of saved Steph. Steph had a mediocre game for him, but now, you know, I haven't seen his stats now. I don't know what he's doing. I know that, you know, they made it competitive again, but, you know, it's going to be really interesting because the next game is Friday, which is a travel day and yet another just one day of rest. So the Warriors are really kind of in a pickle that if they can't get enough rest, I mean, I just think they're running out of steam, And I think that all the other players feed off of Jimmy and Steph. And if Jimmy and Steph don't have it, it just makes it a lot harder.
Well, just so you know, I mean, right now, Steph Curry has 13 points.
Yeah.
And the best scoring guy on the team of the Warriors right now is Moody at 17.
Yeah.
Right? So you can see Jimmy Butler didn't score double points, double digits. Brandon Pajemski didn't score double digits. This is kind of like the bench kind of was here to kind of help, you know, the starters because the starters just didn't have it. And you saw from the outset, you know, we all know this is going to be a tough matchup. I mean, we knew that, you know, this team is young, they're hungry, and, you know, they've been in every game except for the first. And then they got a little momentum with Jimmy Butler getting hurt. And then Jimmy Butler not being 100% last game, even though he had a great game, he still wasn't 100%. And then you got the travel stuff. They're older guys. And then, you know, you're seeing the result of what happens when a team has their back against the wall and they're young and hungry. This is what the Rockets are. And that's what you're seeing, man. So, but anyway, so, we're going to go to game five here on Friday. And, you know, I'm hosting poker here on Friday, man, at 7 o'clock. You play poker, by the way, bro?
I do, man. I do.
Dude, you're welcome to come on over, bro. It's at 7 o'clock, but you know, I'll have the game on, and I'm ordering some Mexican food. So just tell me what you want. If you want to come over, and I have a hard stop at midnight. That's the rules. You know, everybody has their own rules when we host poker in our neighborhood, but yeah, come over if you're free, bro.
Okay.
If you can make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, but you know, we'll be like Marty Feldman, like you said, like one eye on poker.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching the game, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next series. Right. So, we have one more series after this. So the Lakers and Wolves are playing game two tonight. And actually, after our podcast, I'm going to run over to one of my buddies' house and we're going to go watch the game. And the Wolves, they are a problem, dude. And we saw this early on in the season, even though they were struggling, they're like, okay, Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, they're still kind of figuring things out. You know,
Randle's figured out his role.
He's figured out his role. Exactly.
That's the biggest difference of what's happening right now is Randle's figured out his role.
And he's playing very well, man. Yes. Very well. And the emergence of Jaden McDaniels, man. I mean, that dude has become a pro. I mean, he's a version of, you know, like Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson is kind of in the mold of a Jaden McDaniels, you know, because they're both, I would say Amen Thompson is probably a little bit more athletic. But Amen Thompson can't shoot worth a lick, where Jaden McDaniels can't.
Yeah,
right?
Jaden's a little better offensively.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's their defensive stopper, and that's who essentially is always on Steph Curry when they play. And it's likely going to be the Wolves versus the Warriors unless something drastic happens, right? Where, you know, somebody on the Warriors gets hurt and can't come back, which we hope doesn't happen. But, you know, unless the Houston Rockets pull out a 3-1 deficit, which doesn't happen very often, but it has happened, right? Or Warriors are the ones that have experienced that and seen that, and they lost it, and they lost it in the finals. But you know, the Wolves are, you know, a very well made up team. Anthony Edwards is definitely become a force in the NBA, right? Yep. He's a force, and you know, he's playing against one of his idols in LeBron James, because LeBron James and Kevin Durant are kind of essentially Anthony Edwards, you know, idols growing up, and most, you know, young players would look up to both of those guys, you know, if they're bigger guys, right? And mostly younger point guards will be looking at Steph Curry as their idol. But, you know, he's showing that he belongs, right? He's become a force that's hard to stop, and he's going to be hard to contain against anybody, right? Any team is going to have a hard time containing him And especially when they have other shooters on the team like a Jaden McDaniels. And then, of course, Julius Randle can do it as well, and Dante DiVincenzo. So, anyway, what are your thoughts, bro?
So, yeah. So, one thing I noticed about Anthony Edwards this year, you know, there was a point in the season where he was shooting a ton of threes.
Yep.
And he was doing it well. But I feel like this season, he really – because last season, they were for throughout the season, they were a better team last year than they were this year, right? They had a better record. They were a better defensive squad. They had – their rankings were better. Their ratings were better. But I think something turned on in Anthony Edwards. Like, I think that now that I'm looking back, I'm thinking – he's thinking, yeah, I'm shooting these threes because I don't want to wear down. Because when they got to Dallas, Edwards was done. Like, you could just see he was just done. And, like, this year, it seems like he's now starting to ramp up, right? As opposed to last year, he gave it everything he had all the way. And then, like, when he got to Dallas, he was like, dude, I can't do no more. Like, I'm just burnt. And so I'm really going to be curious as this progresses. The Lakers, you know, when the trade first happened, you and I were talking about it. And one of our collective concerns, and I think it's showing its head right now, is, dude, these guys just don't play defense. You know, they don't. And
it's selective.
Yes, selective.
It's not consistent. It's selective.
Correct. Yeah. And you know, and you probably know this already, and they've been talking about it all over, you know, all the different outlets. But, you know, J.J. Redick played his starters the whole second half of that previous game.
Yes.
And that's something that has never been done in the history of playoffs, by the way. You know, and, you know, and you can't expect to have a 40-year-old player who's arguably your best defensive player be able to do anything offensively if he's playing the whole second half and all he's going to focus on is on defense. He's going to rest during the offense.
Yeah.
And you know, Luka is throwing up what I call empty calories. You know, he's got like a 30-something game and a 40-something game, but yet they lose. And there's just a lot of empty calories that he's throwing up there. And
yeah, they're still adjusting to having, you know, two ball dominant superstars. You know, LeBron James, he's ball dominant, although he's a facilitator. But, you know, in order for him to be somewhat effective, he has to have the ball in his hand. And Luka's, you know, probably even more than that, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But they're two matchup nightmares for every team. The problem is that their supporting cast has to do well for this team to do well. And their supporting cast, outside of Austin Reeves, has been a little inconsistent. Rui Hachimura is probably their best kind of ancillary player outside of Austin Reeves. And, you know, he's up and down. Sometimes he shows up, sometimes he doesn't. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith is a very good defender, but sometimes he doesn't show up offensively. And these other guys, you know, Gabe Vincent, he could be a spark plug, you know, in shooting the three sometimes. But their center is their biggest void, bro.
No, they have
their center is a problem. They don't – I mean, they don't even play him 10 minutes, man. He's playing, you know, 6 to 8 minutes a game. And, you know, and if the Warriors were to go ahead and advance, and let's say the Lakers were to go ahead and match up against the Warriors, I think that's a better matchup, man, honestly.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
You think the Lakers regret rescinding the Mark Williams trade?
Oh, dude, in my opinion, we were having lunch and we talked about this. Yep. And I'm like, dude, Mark Williams is like a scary up-and-coming center if he stays healthy. I mean,
that's a big if at this point, but yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, and Dalton Kinect has to come back with the tail in between his legs, come back to the team.
They're not even playing him.
He doesn't even play. He very rarely plays, man. But Mark Williams would have made this team a force. For sure.
Well, right? At least the starters, but they still, like, Vanderbilt was playing okay in a couple of games in the series, but yeah,
they need a lot of help. Their bench isn't very proven, right?
No, and they're going to have an interesting offseason because, you know, I know that LeBron James has a no trade clause, but I think the only way they get better is by trading LeBron and getting some pieces.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that they might do that. You know, and the writing might be on the wall because now, you know, they're transitioning to this new superstar, right, in Luka Doncic, right, and he's younger and, you know, he's got a lot of international appeal and he's the highest-selling jersey right now, you know, as an L.A. Figure now. So, it's possible that that's probably what they might have to do. And there's going to be a lot of teams that are willing to give up, you know, a lot to get LeBron James, even at his advanced age, because that guy doesn't show like he's slowing down at all, man.
So. No, I agree. The interesting story here, though, is, you know, when this went into the series, everyone was talking about how Luka owned them, you know, last year in the Western Conference Finals, right? Where Luka, right. And so the expectation was, and you know, I'm kind of weaving all of this because, you know, part of Nico Harrison's reason for trading Luka, which we can get into conspiracy theories at some other point, but was that, you know, defense wins. And when you look at Gafford and you look at the young center, I forgot, Lively, yep. You know, they had a pretty good defensive backcourt.
They did.
You know? And you know, you had Kyrie who could kind of run the offense, and Luka was kind of like in a position to just be kind of free and do whatever he kind of needed to do to make it happen, right? Because kind of all the tough responsibilities were kind of divvied up amongst the other players. Well, when you look at the Lakers, he doesn't really have that, right? LeBron is the best defender on that team. I mean, that's just hands down, he's the best defender. And even at this stage, I call him a pretty good defender. He's not an elite defender.
So no, he used to be a better defender when he was younger.
Yeah, he was better, but I'm talking about this point in time. He's a pretty good defender. I wouldn't rank him, like as a DPOY candidate or something.
No.
But now Luka's in a situation where he really doesn't have a defense he can rely on. And so he's throwing up these numbers, and they're really – so it's going to be curious to see what the Lakers do and if Nico Harrison happens to keep his job, which I'm dubious about. But if he happens to keep his job, I want to see how this kind of plays out in the next couple of years.
Yeah, so far he's kept his job, man. Even, you know, and I think your short is helping that we put out there that Nico Harrison shouldn't be fired, man. So, if you haven't seen that short, we launched a short about a week ago, essentially comparing Nico Harrison to Oliver North, who was a colonel
back in the day, right?
And maybe that's saving him, man. People are seeing him like, hey, you might be right, Twan. So anyway, all right, bro. Let's go to the last series here, and this is the series of all series, right? This is the best out of all of them right now, right?
Yes.
But what surprises me
is the Joker.
Dude, the surprises me that the Nuggets, you know, pulled. I mean, if Jamal Murray plays like he did yesterday, they're in contention again. The only problem is they're very much like the Knicks. They're very reliant on their starting five, and their starting five has to play well because if they don't, their bench outside of Russell Westbrook is non-existent, man.
Yes.
So that's their main problem, and that's the only thing. And this is something we called out even before the season started. It's like this is what they need, man. They need a bench. They just need a bench. That's all they need. They got rid of some of their best bench players a couple years ago, and then you know Christian Braun had to be put in the starting lineup, and he was one of their better bench players last year. But dude, that's their problem. And the thing is that the deeper teams in this playoff series are the teams that are actually, you know, the ones that are the ones that you have to contend with, right? You have the Celtics being very deep, the Thunder being very deep. You have, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers being probably the deepest team out there. You know, you could argue
Eddie, the difference though is that Joker and Murray make so much money, right? When you look at like the Thunder, right?
Yeah.
They're still not there yet, right? Those players haven't all been paid yet. You look at the Celtics had pretty good deals and kind of got everything in, but the Celtics in a season or two are going to have to make decisions or else they're going to be paying like an exorbitant tax, which I don't think they're going to do. So the Nuggets, I mean, yes, their bench stinks, but to some degree it was kind of there was a byproduct.
They had to. It's necessary.
I wouldn't say they had to, but it was
based on how their roster constructed, yes.
Yeah. And Russell Westbrook's been a godsend. I mean, he's kind of revived his career a little bit in this role that he's doing. And so he plays a huge role. But you're right. They're a six-player rotation. That's it.
Yeah. You know? Whereas, you know, you look at the deeper team, you know, on the left here with the Clippers, you know, you look at the distribution of the fantasy points, you know, it's actually pretty respectable. I mean, the only kind of real – guy that isn't really as good as the other three on the Nuggets side is probably Michael Porter Jr., although he has the capability of being that. But he's been kind of dealing with, you know, some pain tolerance. That's part of the reason why I think you're not seeing him.
Shoulder, right? Shoulder.
Something like shoulder. Yeah. He's having issues, so that's probably explains why he's not necessarily as effective as he has been. But if you look at the entire, you know, roster of the Nuggets, they contribute all up and down that roster, bro. They're a deep team. The only guy that's probably is their weakest link, you know, is probably Ben Simmons. Other than that, this whole team is
even he had a point a minute. A point a minute. Yep.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like this team is deep, and to me, they are the biggest threat, in my opinion, to the Thunder in the West. assuming that, you know, the Warriors can't make it there? Because, you know, we already have pointed out that the Clippers are probably a bigger threat to the Thunder than the Warriors. But if the Clippers were to get eliminated by the Nuggets, then I would say the Warriors are probably the biggest threat to beat the Nuggets. But then the Warriors would be in a dogfight against the Nuggets, right? They're being a dogfight with either one of these teams, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. But I like their chances against the Nuggets a little better.
More than the Clippers, because they have proven that they've beaten the Nuggets.
If the Nuggets pull this off, I'll kind of see this sort of as a mini upset. I know the rankings don't suggest that, but the
Clippers, it is, because the Nuggets are number four. They're the number four seed.
No, I know they're the higher seeded team, but I still consider them beating the Clippers like an upset.
You know, because Kawhi are playing way better. Well. Yes.
Yeah, I just expected I expected the Clippers. You know, I had them in six. You know, and I'm pretty conservative, which to me is like saying something. And, you know, the Nuggets win the next game, it's over, you know, and we'll see how this goes. But, you know, I'm surprised that the Nuggets have the Clippers on the ropes right now. I am genuinely surprised.
I am too. And Jokic, you know, his last game, he didn't play like the Jokic numbers. Look at the difference between game four and game five.
Yep.
He scored 80.2 fantasy points, you know, cumulative, all his points, rebounds, assists, steals, all that stuff. It's 80.2 points versus 50 in the second game. Whereas, look at the difference in Jamal Murray.
Yeah,
right?
He just took over.
Yeah, and just, you know, we talk about FanDuel points system. You know, Jokic is roughly about $13,200 bucks or something like that to play him. Jamal Murray is about $7,500 bucks to play. And look at what he scored, 70.5 points, right? Yep. So the teams who started him yesterday are the teams that won the money, right? But, you know, if you get Jamal Murray of, you know, 2021 or whatever, 2023 is when they won a title, you know, that they're a problem. They are a problem, but they need another bench guy, man. They need someone like a Peyton Watson to step up more than he already has to help Russell Westbrook. I still think the Clippers are going to pull this one out. I think the Clippers are going to win tomorrow, and then they're going to win game seven.
Well, if the Clippers win, you're going to be right because you'll pick both the team and the games.
Exactly.
The Clippers aren't winning in six now. That's impossible.
Yep.
The Clippers are going to win. They'll have to do it in seven.
Right, exactly, man. All right, man, let's go. That's it for coverage for the entire, the playoff series. So what I wanted to show here is just, you know, even what you saw in all the previous slides, I kind of had this point system, and I wanted to kind of show, you know, everybody, you know, the top 15 of all the series playing, you know, who are the best players from a fantasy stat accumulation standpoint right now. And you can see the ones that are colored in red are the guys that have been eliminated, right? So you're going to see their names come off probably in the ensuing games because the other guys that are going to be playing more games are going to outscore them, right? But you can see Nikola Jokic is the number one guy, right? And then you can see Giannis being number two, and he's now out. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is nowhere to be seen on this list, and primarily because he hasn't played as many games. He only played four. All these other guys have been playing, you know, at least five, right? So that's how you can see that that's why you don't see some of the Oklahoma City Thunder on this list is because they haven't played as many games. You're not going to see the Cleveland Cavaliers either, right? There's nobody on here that's from the Cleveland Cavaliers because they've only played four games. But you can see here,
you know, Golden State Warriors either.
No Golden State Warriors either, right? You know, exactly. But because the defense that they're playing, man, their defense that they're playing up against, man, they're containing. They're leading scorer in Steph Curry. Although Steph Curry had a great game two games ago, he's been kind of non-existent since, right?
Yeah.
So you can see from Nikola Jokic all the way down, Jaylen Brown is the guy at the very bottom. And then you can see, you know, LeBron James at 40 years old or close, you know.
Eddie, what's the difference between the chart on the left and the chart on the right?
So the chart on the right, the chart on the left is fantasy points. It's sorted by fantasy points in descending order, right?
So it's
going from the best to the lowest. Then what I did is I sorted the next table to the right into the fantasy points per minute. Who had the best ratio fantasy points per minute? So Giannis Antetokounmpo had the best at 1.69. He's shown that he's the most efficient guy on the floor at all times because he accumulates the most points, you know, from a fantasy perspective, which essentially is accumulating stats, right?
Yep.
And then Jokic is number two. And the worst one on this list is Jamal Murray, right? He scored 70 points, but even with that 70 points, he's only like essentially at a point per minute, right? And again, you can see the same guys that are highlighted in red. Those guys are gone, right? But you can see right here, LeBron James is outperforming, you know, Luka Doncic on both of those tables.
Yeah.
And he's the oldest guy, and he's the guy that's more than likely not going to stay on the team the longest, right?
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, isn't that a trip? Yeah, you know, right. And then so one thing I wanted to point out here is you can see that Nikola Jokic, out of everybody, has Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, this points to their bench. They have the most minutes so far on this table, right? They have the most minutes. 204 for Nikola Jokic, 207 for Jamal Murray, right? Now, the next best after that, Cade Cunningham is at 202, right, for the Detroit Pistons. Yep. Jalen Brunson, he's a guy that we talked about on the Knicks. Those guys play a lot of minutes, right? So, anyway, I just thought it'd be an interesting – I'm going to keep track of this.
This is interesting. I mean, obviously, eyes don't lie. I mean, what's fascinating, though, to me is the top one and two guys are Jokic and Giannis.
Yep.
And Jokic has got a series lead, and Giannis is already out, which I find just – I find these stats fascinating because, like, it's not only the numbers, it's how you're – you know, obviously, if we wanted to get geeky about this, my guess would be that most of Giannis's numbers are through points and maybe rebounds.
No, actually, he does everything. He's an elite.
How's his assist numbers?
The defense and Moss, I mean, he almost had a triple-double last game. So he's a good passer. He's getting better at that. He wasn't always known for that. He was always known for more points and rebounds, but he's gotten a lot better at facilitating, and he's always been an elite defender. I think he's probably – him and Kawhi Leonard, when Kawhi Leonard is healthy, they're the two best two-way players in the NBA right now. Those guys. So, but anyway, so that I just thought I'd show this. I'm going to keep track of this every time we have this podcast so you can kind of see how this thing shifts and all that. Yep. I'll probably put like how they move, you know, so you can see the delta of where they were at last time. Anyway, there's a lot of – I geek out on this stuff wrong. You know, I'm an engineer at heart, right?
I like it. I like to look at
– and I have a geek streak that comes out, so numbers and all this stuff, stats. Yep.
I like it, and it kind of tells you, you know, it kind of – for me, do my eyes match what I'm seeing, right?
Yeah.
And I like to observe that, right? But I just find it fascinating. You know, you got like on the chart on the left, right? You got Giannis, he's out. Then you got Jokic and they're leading. Then you got LeBron and they're losing. Then you got Halliburton and they won. And,
right.
And like it's so there's no consistency with it
like
winning versus the numbers, right?
Correct.
Which is what I find fascinating. I find that part like, you know, what can we do to get in there and figure out why, you know? And I'm sure if we could figure that out, we'd be rich.
Well, you know, the main reason, bro, is because it's all in the amount of minutes that you play, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I were to go ahead and put, like, all the players that are in the playoffs, the guys that are going to have the biggest efficiency numbers outside of Giannis is probably going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder players, realistically, right?
Yeah.
And there's going to be maybe a few Donovan Mitchell had a pretty good output of one time on efficiency level standpoint. He had, a 1.69 number in one of the games, right? But those guys only play four games each. So, but they would appear more on the table on the right where, you know, it's the fantasy points per minute, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, but the guys who play the most minutes are the ones that are going to accumulate the most points. They may not necessarily be the most efficient in those minutes that they play. And that's what the table on the right tells you is based on the minutes that they play, who's the most efficient.
Okay. Cool.
So,
all right, let's move
on. All right, man. So now, hey, we're down to our last few slides here. So, I think this was you. Was this? This was you. No, this was mine.
You.
This one was mine.
This
so,
was
so the Miami Heat got swept.
You did the East. I did the West.
I did. Yeah, yeah. So the Miami Heat were eliminated this week by the Cleveland Cavaliers in a 4-0 sweep. And like we did in our podcast a few weeks ago, where we kind of dissected the teams that weren't eligible to make the playoffs, we're doing the same thing for those teams that got eliminated from the playoffs. So. What I wanted to show here is, you know, we've shown offensive rating, defensive rating, net rating, but the difference here is that we're showing how they are relative to only the playoff teams that are playing right now. So right now you can see that their offensive rating was at 111.6 points per game. That was 10th out of 16 teams, right?
Correct.
So it gives you an idea that they were kind of in the middle of the pack, a little bit worse than the middle of the pack, but their defensive rating was the worst because they ran into a buzzsaw in the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, scoring bazooka amount of points, right? So their net rating, because of that, is the worst out of everybody, right?
Well, I'm sure it's not even close, bro. I'd be surprised.
No, it's not even close. I mean, look at that, negative 25, man.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if anyone was greater than 10, negative 10.
But you can see, like, they're the worst. I mean, negative 25 rating? That's crazy. I mean, it's a small sample size. We're only talking about four games, right?
That's insane. So basically, the four games they played, they lost an average
by 25 points.
Correct. Yeah,
that's correct.
That's nuts.
But it's actually this metric is actually more on a points per possession basis. It's not a points per game basis. So it's a little bit more granular, but it just gives you an idea of how efficient a team is from both an offensive and defensive standpoint. And on average, that's what it's going to look like after so many possessions, right? They're going to look ugly. So, but if I also did a comparison on their starter scoring versus their bench scoring. You can see that their starter scoring was the worst. Right? Which is surprising, man. I think it's because Tyler Hero had a horrible game last game. Then you have Bam Adebayo, who's the only guy that's been really carrying that team from an offensive standpoint. If Tyler Hero doesn't show up, Bam Adebayo can't do it on himself. And after that, it's like Andrew Wiggins, who, you know, we all know how he is. He sometimes shows up, hot or cold. He's hot or cold, right? And their best scoring, believe it or not, was actually one of the top five, right? Out of the 16 teams, they were fifth. So, so if I were to look at this team, you know, their strengths are their shooting guard in Tyler Hero, their power forward in Bam Adebayo, and their center, their up-and-coming center in Khalil Ware.
I do like their
That's a good core right there, right? And then Andrew Wiggins is a good veteran to have on your team, man. I mean, they have a good – and then Davion Mitchell, he was a revelation, bro. I mean, he was arguably the best player outside of Bam Adebayo in the playoffs, you know, for this team. And he came off the bench, and then they started playing him as a starter. So, but if you look at their rotation, right, they have – they have some players that are not necessarily offensive-minded players. They're all very defensive-minded players. Duncan Robinson's kind of hit and miss because, he can shoot, but he's not necessarily the best defensive player. Kyle Anderson's a good overall player, but he's not really good at everything. He's just good at a lot of things, but he's not excellent at one thing, right? Nikola Jokic. You almost call me Jokic.
That guy wouldn't be on the bench if it was Jokic.
right. But he's a decent young player. He's got a good potential. You know, he just needs a little bit more time to develop. And Pelle Larsen is the guy that came out of Arizona this year in the draft, and he's a rookie. He saw some time, in the rotation because he actually can shoot pretty well. He's a pretty good, well-rounded player, like most players that come out of Arizona are. And Haywood Highsmith is actually a pretty decent player too. I think he's a rotation piece, but in my opinion, their weakness, they really don't have a true point guard. I mean, Davion Mitchell is a good point guard, but, is he a true point guard? I don't know. I think they need to get somebody to bring on there that could help them out into facilitating.
I wouldn't say he's a true modern-day point guard because modern-day point guard got to be able to shoot the three, and Davion Mitchell's
– he's hit and miss.
He's mediocre on that,
And plus he's small, dude.
That's the problem, right? You put him to shooting guard, and then you have a small backcourt if your point guard's small. So there's a little bit there that needs to be resolved, if that's going to be your starting five, you're going to have a significantly better bench.
Correct. That is correct. So bench scoring is their other weakness. So they need to get another piece or two that can score, and supplement some of these guys that are more defensive minded. So that's what I have here. All right. But my overall assessment is that this team is not far. They just need some tweaks. They don't need a lot of work, just some tweaks. So they're not that far. You can go to the next one. All right, so the Orlando Magic were just eliminated by the Boston Celtics. And again, we're going to go over their offense rating. They're near the bottom, which we always knew that they weren't the best offensive team there is out there because they can hardly shoot. They're very reliant on Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner being their offense. Everybody else, it's hit and miss. Them not having Jalen Suggs really hurt them a lot, man. It really hurt them a lot because he was actually another decent scorer who played really, really good D. And you can see their defensive rating for as good of a defensive team that they are. They were in the bottom half, right, of all the teams that are in the playoffs. They're at 11th. And their net rating, still, because they ended up losing, right, they're a negative 9.1, which is 13th out of 16. Starter scoring is a little bit better at 11, which surprised me. And it's primarily because of those two guys being studs, Banchero and Franz Wagner. But then their bench scoring, it's putrid, man. I mean, you can see 18.2 points. That's pretty bad, dude, for a bench, right? So you can see, their team right now, how they're constructed, right? Jalen Suggs, I put him in there, even though he's been out for the season. He's actually their point guard, and he's a decent player, right? And you can build around those three. By the way, I put Khalil Ware. He shouldn't be Khalil Ware there. That shouldn't be Khalil Ware. That should be Wendell Carter. So that's my bad. It should be Wendell Carter that should be there as the center. But anyway, but if you look at the rotation pieces, you have Gary Harris, Anthony Black, Cole Anthony. They're all very similar kind of players. They're all defensive-minded guys. Jonathan Isaac. Really good player, man. I really like that guy, dude. I would love to see him on the Warriors. He just doesn't get enough minutes on this team. And it might be because he had really, really bad injuries over the course of the last, he had 2 years off before he played again, right? He had really bad knee injuries. So I think they're kind of just bringing up slowly. He was out of Florida State, a very good defensive player, 6'10", very long, very athletic. So he's a keeper. Tristan Da Silva, they just drafted him, right? He's a keeper, you know, but he didn't really play that much. Goga Bataza, you know, he's a serviceable big man. He's a backup guy. Caleb Houston, in my opinion, Anthony Black, Gary Harris, Caleb Houston, Cole Anthony, they're all very similar players, man.
Yeah.
They need to get somebody that's a little bit more offensive-minded.
So. And they need shooting. They need shooters.
Big time. Big time.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, but in my opinion, they're not far from, you know, I almost kind of put them as a team on the rise, but I'd have put them as a team on the rise if they had better scoring on their bench. Then I would say they're a team on the rise. Right now, small tweaks are needed in order for them to be a team on the rise. So that's my coverage. So now you got the last one, man.
Yeah, I do have the last one. So this one, I struggled a little bit with my overall assessment, and I'll get to that in a minute. But in terms of their offensive rating, they rank last. Right, they're playing one of the toughest defensive teams in the Oklahoma City Thunder, which explains why their offensive rating was so low. Their defensive rating, again, was close to the bottom, third to last. They actually, I'm shocked because their net rating is minus 19, which is, you know, pretty bad. I mean, the Miami Heat were 25, so that's better than them, but that's just really atrocious numbers. And you know, a lot of this is also reflective of the fact that they were playing the best team in the West, you know, and the Oklahoma City Thunder are a very good defense. They're an extraordinary offense. And so a lot of these numbers reflect that. But there are some things that I think Memphis needs to figure out going into next season. Their starter scoring was towards the bottom. You know, they were 12th out of 16, and their bench was a little lower than mediocre. You know, their eighth would be the middle. They're a little lower than that. You know, obviously, I also kind of angle this that the bench scoring was pretty good because the bench played a lot of minutes because they were down a lot, you know, and they were probably trying to rest some of their starters. So there's some of that. In terms of their strengths, you know, they got a lot of good young players. You know, Scottie Pippen, I think, was a nice addition this year. You know, I think he's entering his third or fourth season.
Yeah, he's a good player, man. I like him.
Yeah, John Morant, you know, he's still young. You know, Desmond Bane is on the younger side. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is a younger player. So their players are young and they're good. Their rotation's okay. Jalen Wells got hurt, which I think really hurt him, you know, during the postseason because he was really having a good postseason. You know, Santi Aldama has been playing pretty well. Marvin Bagley's a veteran now. He's been moving around. He's okay. You know, and Luke Kennard helped a little as well. But you know, their benches need some improvement. But in terms of their weaknesses, right, you know, as we've talked about in previous shows, they kind of fired their coach. They brought in this new coach. I'm not sure, you know, if this coach is going to stick around long term. But so they need to make those decisions, right? They need some stability on the coaching. Sure. You know, as we've mentioned in the past, there's been some health issues. You know, John Morant's been hurt, was hurt last year, was hurt at the end of this season. Jalen Wells has got hurt, you know. And as I mentioned earlier, they need steady leadership. They need something that is going someone that can be stable. And Triple J here is entering a contract. He's entering a contract here. If he gets – I read somewhere that if he makes All-NBA first, second, or third team this year, he will be eligible for the Supermax, which is like some insane number, like almost $400 million. If not, he'll be kind of in the low 300s, I think. And I think that this –
I don't think he's that kind of player.
Well, that's the problem, right? This is what I'm talking about. Like, what do you do with him?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, for example, and I've got all kinds of space, do I offer him a big deal? You know, if I'm, you know, and so that's the problem. So that's why I was stuck between small tweaks needed and potentially needs a lot of work because I don't know what to do with someone like Triple J, right? Like, for me, you know, maybe $200 million. You know, maybe, but again, then we're talking about like what we're talking about with the Nuggets. You're paying two or three guys an enormous amount of money, and now you can't afford a bench and you can't afford these other players. And what are you going to do? Like for me, if my three guys are John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson, those are my big money guys, I'm going to be honest with you, Eddie, I'm not too happy with that. That makes me nervous, you know? You know, and so I don't think
they have to revamp their team then completely.
Yeah, so that's where I was stuck, right? Like to some degree, if you can trade Jaren Jackson, you know, like sign him and trade him to like Phoenix for Kevin Durant, for example, if you can do something like that, then this team starts to look a little different. you know, because now you have a leader that's that John Morant isn't necessarily going to challenge, and you know, and maybe bring a little stability, and now you maybe you have something, right? So you swap out Jaren Jackson for Durant here, and how does that lineup look now? Now it's starting to look a lot better, right? Now,
yeah,
now
anybody Kevin Durant would look good, right? Kevin Durant looks good on any team.
No, of course, one of our shorts, man. Well, of course, you know, like if you, for example, and again, like if you trade Jaren Jackson to the Lakers for, you know, LeBron James, for example, I think this looks better, right? Not necessarily because LeBron's at this point of career better player than Jaren Jackson, but he brings other aspects that I think this team needs. So if you do something like that, then yeah, it's a little tweak. But if you're going to keep these guys, you're going to need to do a lot to kind of stabilize this. And so my overall assessment, I'm going to stick with small tweaks because my guess is that they're going to pay Jaren Jackson. But the big question I have is how much, you know, and what's that going to do to the rest of your roster building?
Yeah, I think it's good analysis, man, because, you know, this team is constructed with, you know, intent to be a young athletic team. They just lack some leadership, like you just pointed out. And it could be, you know, because maybe Ja Morant isn't that leader type, and I don't think Triple J is that leader type. They need somebody a little bit more forceful, a little bit more level-headed, like you pointed out, right?
Yep.
So, you know, I think in their offseason, I think that small tweak is bringing in, you know, somebody that, you know, can stabilize the locker room a little bit, you know, and be that just kind of that elder statesman that people look up to and respect, and people will follow suit, right? And you know, that's what teams need that are up and coming. And I think that's probably what's needed with the Rockets. I mean, we don't know what the Rockets are still a very dangerous team. They're not out. They've already won and they're playing the next game Friday, right?
Yep.
But these guys are out, and, you know, these guys, you know, are in dire need of somebody that would help stabilize that locker room. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see who we could think about that would be a good addition to this team. So,
yeah. So my vibe for Memphis, you remember at the beginning of this year and towards the end of last year, I said, look out for Memphis this year because they're going to lose. And
you're right. You know, they did. They were number two for a while.
Yeah. And this year, Eddie, I got the opposite feeling.
Oh, you think that they're the team on the downfall?
Well, I just think that now I'm questioning that they don't have the right formula.
It's right? possible. It's yeah, possible. No, like, I mean, start with the coach. Kind of, last year coach, I was just, man.
Yeah, like right? Triple J kind of stepped up when Ja Morant was hurt, and he was like, okay, now you got Ja Morant, you got Triple J, you know, you got like this going on. Desmond Bane's a solid shooter. Okay. And all of a sudden you go through this season and you're like going, hey, I don't know, man. I don't know if these parts fit. You know, or you know, and they fit from a skill set. I just don't know if they fit from like a team building perspective.
Yeah. Roster constructions.
Yeah, roster constructions. So we'll see. But I do have a different feeling this year for the Memphis. I think that, you know, next year it could be a down year for them if they don't do many changes.
Yeah, yeah. And I see them being pretty active in the offseason for both a coach as well as some, you know, team, some players that could help the team, right?
So, yeah.
All right, man. Well, dude, we did it, man. We did it a little bit over an hour and a half. It's a good thing we didn't have to go watch a Warrior game, man.
Well, but, yeah, yeah. You know, good thing that next week the teams, there'll be less teams, so there's less to talk about.
Correct. And you know, you had this good little idea that we'll talk about at some point. You know, we'll introduce, you know, our Mount Rushmore
series, our latest
that we started. We're going to go ahead and do that. We have a surprise that we have something that we're going to do different on that. Once we start getting towards the finals, we're going to introduce that. And it'll probably cover up maybe like 6 to 7 weeks of content. So, but anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters episode 46. It's the Tim McDonald episode, bro. Number 46. You remember
Tim McDonald episode. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. So he's the San Francisco 49ers safety for those of you who don't know. But anyway, I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral. We are also known as the Cisco Kids. We are a podcast that's dedicated to basketball. We are brought to you by gremlingsmedia.com. You can find us at gremlingsmedia.com as well as any popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as Google, Spotify, YouTube, Apple, Pandora, X, Facebook, you name it. You can find us. Just go ahead and call out Gremlings Media or Buzzer Beaters. But anyway, we are here live every Wednesday. We're going to be here Wednesday because we want to hear from you. We did get a few comments today, so thank you for doing that, especially from Peckerhead. Thank you, Peckerhead. But anyway, we're going to be here next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. And until then, have a good rest of the week, and go Warriors.
Go Dubs.